You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 6th, 2022, we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, one word, and it will open up our page. You can push a button, joining us live in studio. If so, glad to have you. I see many of you end up watching the podcast later because they're all there for you, and I understand you can't maybe watch now. I thank you for listening, reminding you also that you can get podcasts, the audio podcast, later today when they will be posted. We have a lot of material every day, and I shift gears a lot, so it's hard to cover everything that might have caught your eye, but sometimes I get a good opportunity to do that, and then sometimes I come with some things you absolutely didn't see, but end up being very interesting. I got one coming up here in a moment. But let me deal, first of all, that the issue in Ukraine, if you thought maybe things were getting a little bit better over there, they're not. We had some deadly missile attacks in a southern Ukrainian city, leaving dead and hospitalized. This coming just hours after President Putin declared Russia was moving to formally seize the nearby nuclear plant. A UN nuclear watchdog chief did visit the area discussing nuclear safety and said, I'll also go to Moscow. I don't know what good that's going to do, but the concern would be, what are they going to do with that plant? What could go wrong? And that would be anything and everything. And there are some Russian leaders that are speaking out because Moscow is seeing so many defeats. One senior official in Ukraine is berating Putin's incompetent commanders. Not directly calling Putin out, but the commanders. That's one way to get around and make your voice heard, right? Takes some courage to do that, doesn't it? But here's another example, courage. You know, in Iran, they continue to have numerous protests. They're growing larger and louder. The regime, of course, is trying to say this is all Western propaganda, and we're trying to put it down with police and militia violence and so forth. And some of the things that are being done would be unthinkable in the past. And even now, take note of this. Take note of this. The courage it took. Some young girls took off their mandatory headscarves, extended their middle fingers, you get the impression of what they're doing, to photos of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and his predecessor. And they even chased a male education official out of a school, throwing water bottles at him. Those girls want to be free. I hope you count your blessings every night that you live in this country. And then we have this tragedy out of Thailand. A former police officer under investigation for allegedly selling drugs had a court case. He appeared at court, did a little testimony and left, and then went right to a nearby child care center and opened fire, killing at least 36, and 24 of them were children. Later confirmed they had also killed his wife and his stepson and then took his own life. Wish he had done that first. Violent crime is on the increase in the U.S., and a new poll from Politico found that 77% of Americans believe violent crime is a significant issue in this country. That may well decide some of the votes coming up. But then, of course, we also have to worry about oil and gas prices and inflation. But not to worry, it's not the Biden administration's fault. They're not going to accept any blame for it. They're going to look to blame OPEC and Russia working together. And here comes progressive Representative Yayapal, Democrat of Washington, about OPEC's announced production cuts, saying we've got OPEC joining with Russia to interfere with our election. Going to blame the Russians again, Freud, right? By the way, the new CNN polling. CNN polling. Two critical Senate battlegrounds finding that Arizona Democrat Senator Mark Kelly holds a narrow lead over Republican challenger Blake Masters. But in Nevada, between the Democrat Senator Masto and her GOP opponent, Adam Laxalt, too close to call. Both of them are within the margin of error of either race. That is why midterm is going to be so important for you. And coming up, more evidence of why you need to be involved now. Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with a Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a fighter combi, on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The White House today said that OPEC exercising this economic leverage that Biden has given them is a hostile act. The entire Biden presidency has been a hostile act against the American people. It's been one terrible decision after another. And now, with the oil reserve drained, with American supply, domestic supply and energy production having been diminished, now we're against the wall, and so we're seeing prices go back up again. It is just, it's utter incompetence. Although stupidity only explains so much.
I love that. Stupidity only explains so much. Those are the words of Congressman Dan Bishop, Republican, North Carolina. And he's correct. The White House, the attitude from Biden in the White House has been, OPEC with its oil cuts are short-sighted. See, OPEC the other day decided we're going to cut production. Well, see, there's an issue there because we were relying on OPEC because we're not doing our own drilling like we used to, as we did under Trump. And we also did under Obama. Your prices were lower under Obama than they are right now under Biden. Now, let me remind you of that. It's just good for national security and the economy if you're using your own sources rather than getting it from somewhere else. And every day that Biden does not open up our oil and gas industry again, it threatens our security more so. He continues to drain from our strategic petroleum reserve, what is meant to be there in case of a major disaster. We had one down in Florida the other day with the hurricane. Now, you multiply that in different ways across the nation, and you got some big issues, and you do need. That's why we have the strategic reserve. stored in these giant salt underground domes across the coast of Louisiana and parts of Texas, all in that area, that 700 plus million gallons, let me get the exact figure, what it was at one point. We had the highest we ever had was in 2010 at 726 million barrels. But now we're lower than we've been in some time. We, at this time, this report says we had 416 million barrels. But a year ago, we had 618 million barrels. You see how we continue to pull it out? And the Biden White House has been doing so for political points. They did it to get your prices down so you could do travel during the summer. COVID was over. Get out, go out, enjoy. But you're going to have to pay those gas prices. No, we're going to help you out. And as we approach November and the election coming up, they will probably go back into that strategic pool again. And I will guarantee you that if they're still in charge come 2024, they will do it again. Now, what are we going to do? What are we going to do if suddenly there is no more? And what the other issue is, we now will have to buy to refill our storage. We will have to pay more to OPEC to get oil and gas from them because they are obviously going to be smart and savvy and say, oh, you're short? We'll sell you some. But you know the price we quoted you previously? Triple that. That's not going to be good for you. Not good for America. But again, let's go to the White House spokeswoman, Karine Jean-Pierre, trying to explain the White House strategy of blaming all of the problems and the issues on OPEC and saying OPEC is short-sighted.
What we think is that this decision by OPEC Plus is one purported self-interest is a mistake, and it's misguided. It's a short-sighted decision. Look, it's clear that OPEC Plus is aligning with Russia with today's announcement, and I'll leave it as that.
Yes, that was White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday accusing OPEC of cozying up to Russia after OPEC Plus announced that they would cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. That's expected to send oil prices higher.
That was Maria Bartiromo following her this morning, pointing out expecting to send the prices higher. Here's one of the latest prices I've got in front of me. L.A. gas prices hitting a record high, $6.49. That is a high in L.A., and that's for the regular, not premium. And then on top of that, that's just the beginning. There will be more to come. And we have the White House saying that OPEC is being short-sighted. They're playing the long game. They know we will want that oil and gas again, and it'll take a while to get our abilities back up to speed. So we will have to pay a premium to them, which then again will be passed on to you. And Senator Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, Republican, said if the Biden administration wants to consider someone being short-sighted, they need to look in the mirror.
My response to this, I'm afraid, is going to be to sell down more of the SPR, what is supposed to be the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. What they're calling it now, I think, is the Strategic Political Reserve, because their eyes are on the November elections. They're trying to get gas prices down, and that's what this is all about. They're out pleading with Iran, with Venezuela. They'd rather deal with international killers than work with American drillers right here at home. The answer is so obvious. It's right here. Joe Biden needs to take his foot off the oil and gas industry's throat.
Yes, get your foot off their throat. Let them do their J-O-B. And he mentioned again what we're doing with Venezuela. Let me break this down for you. We have now, by the Biden administration clearing the way for Chevron to resume its oil operations and reopen U.S. and European markets. Those familiar with this proposal, talking to the Wall Street Journal, said that relieving and winding down sanctions against Venezuela and its dictatorial communist regime, Maduro, will end up costing us more as we move forward. Discussions of possible sanctions relief on Venezuela coming as Biden facing mounting political pressure to address rising gas prices ahead of the November midterms. We are 30 days out. What can they do to get the prices down? Well, they think that this would do it. But at the same time, a deal between the U.S. and Venezuela, for some, say it's going to enrage critics on all sides. Chevron told Fox Business it continues, quote, to conduct our business in compliance with the current sanctions framework provided by the U.S. Office of Foreign Assets Control, blah, 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 blah. It said it is a constructive presence in Venezuela, where we have dedicated investments and large workforce dependent on our presence. So if we relax the sanctions against Venezuela and the way they've been treating their people, and we're going to go back to using Venezuelan oil, we're all the green climate activists shouting out that, hey, that's the dirtiest oil in the world that they're doing down there. They don't care about environmental safety. They don't care about the safety of the climate, their people. And we're going to pay a premium price for it. You know we will. Senator Hagerty, when he was on Fox Business, he was being questioned by a Wall Street Journal editor. And the question from the Wall Street Journal editor to Senator Hagerty, Republican, Tennessee, is revealing, and especially Senator Hagerty's response.
But I'm wondering, among Democratic senators, do they kind of, or do they get confused about which message to go with? Are they saying, yay, less oil production, good for the climate? Or are they criticizing OPEC Plus for not pumping oil as the president would like?
Well, they've got nowhere to go except to contradict themselves. Again, what they want to see, I think, is gas at $15 a gallon in America, whatever it takes to force us into some
green
new energy fantasy.
Yeah.
But not before November. You're exactly right. They want to get reelected. They want to stay in power. But then they want to turn around and force America into this green new energy fantasy that they're proposing. It doesn't work. We don't have the infrastructure. I've been here in Tennessee all week talking with people about how we're going to put the infrastructure in place even to do this. It's not possible. This is a pipe dream. It's a political pipe dream. And they're destroying the American economy in the process.
It's green pie in the skies, I've said before. Now, listen, is there a day that we could actually rely strictly on that and not use fossil fuel? Yes. Yes, there certainly is. There could come a day when everything will be nuclear. Your car will be nuclear powered. Your everything. We're not there yet. But you don't burn down the house you're living in when someone tells you we're going to build you a better house and they burn to help start a fire and burn your house down. And you're, oh, great, we're going to have a new house. Your house is now ashes. And you say, when am I getting the new house? Oh, 30, 40, maybe 70 years from now. I think every American, I would hope, is concerned about our environment and what's happening and how we go about it. But in many cases, we're over-blaming men. And on top of that, then this nation has done more than any other nation in the world and continues to do so. And we're still supposed to do and be squeezed even more and suffer more while the rest of them could care less. India, China. And Europe is in, they're already beginning to realize this, we cannot go green. We got a cold, hard winter coming, and we don't have oil and gas coming from Russia anymore. What are we going to do? Oh, and by the way, they have concluded, surprise, surprise, an investigation of the Nord Stream pipeline and the explosions on that just suddenly happened under the Baltic Sea. They were obviously sabotaged. They were an act of war. But who carried it out? That's still to be determined. But they, in the meantime, believe that you should just simply accept green is the way to go. But I don't know a single progressive liberal pushing green pie in the sky that has suddenly quit driving their car or taking an airplane trip or getting on the train to go. So I don't know of a single one that's done that. Have you? Do you know any other that are shutting off all the power in their house so they're not using more of the power grid? Do you know any of them that aren't eating something that's been farmed somewhere and they're brought to their table, even if it's not beef, it's vegetables? Stuart Varney of Fox Business had an excellent commentary on what Biden has done with this nation in his short term. And I want you to hear, I couldn't air all of it. We did edit it. I want you to understand we did do some editing. But it, I do it in a way that it does not destroy the context and the content. But here's Stuart Varney in his view.
They have agreed to cut oil production 2 million barrels a day. This is certainly an embarrassment for President Biden. He'd begged the Saudis to increase oil output, but at this meeting, they're going to cut big time. They want the price to go up, and it is going up, and that's another problem for the president. He'd taken credit when gas prices went down, but now that prices are rising again, the White House blames Putin. Before that, he blamed the oil companies. Before that, it was gas station owners. Come on. What will he say when the price of gas, now at $3.83 a gallon, goes to $4? And it probably will. 2 years ago, Trump was president, and American energy ran the show. Now we don't. Now we are dependent on OPEC, and they're telling the president to get lost. We should rise to the challenge and go get our own energy, but Biden won't do it. He's married to the Greens. I don't think he wants a divorce.
No, I don't think he wants a divorce. Let me cite some average gas prices that were this morning. In Oregon, $5.47 a gallon. Nevada, $5.53 a gallon. Washington State, $5.34 a gallon. California earlier this day was $6.42 a gallon. Yet I just told you moments ago, they now have gone to $6.49, 7 cents since this morning, 7 cents a gallon up in L.A. You think it's going to get better? Oh, no, 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 no. And in the next segment, let's do a quick recap of how we got where we are. And then this question, who's more liberal, men or women? That is, of course, assuming you can define what a woman is. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we're talking a moment ago about the Nord Stream pipeline, and I told you they have now officially determined it was sabotage. No kidding. You don't just suddenly have a couple of explosions of a pipeline. Well, you could, but under the water about 200, 300 feet, not very likely just suddenly happen. Now NATO investigators have said, yes, it was sabotage. But they're also vowing retaliation. But they also are not affixing blame to any nation or group. Who are you going to retaliate against and how? We were talking earlier also about where we are now in this nation and how. Since the beginning, when President Biden came into the White House, and even before then, he had made it clear. That's how he got elected and got all the green climate people to go with him, that he would turn us away from fossil fuel, go green. First day in office, he signed that executive order canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have been and would continue to this day transporting more than 800,000 barrels of oil from Canada to the Texas coast per day, per day. 800,000 barrels per day. And now the price is going up. He's blaming Russia and Putin again. And then he's blaming OPEC, raising the prices because they're going to withhold domestic production 2 million barrels a day. Well, they'll sell it to us eventually at a higher price. And now we're going to form an alliance with a communist dictatorship in Venezuela to open up their lines again. Now, one time, Venezuela was a major oil producer. Where Chevron is, and they do have a lot of infrastructure down there. At one point, they were doing 3.2 million barrels a day in the 90s. But then as it began to go into mismanagement and became more communist and Marxist and everything else, it was wrong for America and the Venezuelans. Everything fell apart, but now we're apparently going to allow Chevron to go back in and put things back together. But do you think that's going to happen by the time you need to buy your next fill up? or maybe even by Christmas? No, it's not. If Biden said today, I have been wrong. Oh, God, I'd love to hear that. I have been wrong. We need to let our oil and gas people do their job and get back. Open up the oil leases and grant them again faster. Get them moving. It still can't happen overnight. It's not you walking into a dark room, flipping a switch, and the light comes on. No, you're walking into the dark room, flipping the switch, and there is no light. I raised the question before we went to the break. Do you think young women or young men are more likely to be liberal? In 2021, a survey found that, this is a Gallup poll analyzation of a survey center on American life, 44% of young women consider themselves liberal. 44% of young women compared to 25% of young men. And now we're seeing rising liberalism among women ages 18 to 29 and men 18 to 29. There's no increase in liberalism with them. Now, look, I'm not going to go down the road to talk about who's the smarter. We're not going to do that. And I don't advise you do it either. And I raised young women, and I'm very proud of them, and they're not liberal. But I know some friends who have children who are liberal, but they, for the most part, they're kind of common sense to some extent. But, of course, some of these liberals, it's built around my body, my choice, the abortion issue. You have to understand that. But if you look at liberalism as to how it's exploded, according to this survey, in the late 1990s and early 2000s, fewer than 30% of women identify themselves as liberal. Fewer than 30%, and now 44% and growing. You could look at being, it's a gender reference issue, or you could look at that, you know, maybe the guys just aren't that involved with things like the women are. And also you can look again right to the abortion issue, which would directly affect young women. But even a sociologist who studies gender politics said there's a big generational shift that happened with Generation Z women who were really coming of age in the last 5 years. Now, you move ahead 5 years from now, I'm not sure we'll even have women or men. And we won't be able to know, are they a birthing person or not? And you got colleges and universities that might be teaching something where they're going to have to bring out the censor squad. That story coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
And run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. This news breaking in the last segment, I had a chance to get to it, and that is that President Biden is announcing pardons for thousands who have been convicted for marijuana possession. That makes sense, considering where we are now with marijuana being legalized not only for medicinal purposes, but recreational purposes in several states. So anyway, I want to bring that to your attention. There's a quote from George Orwell that I want to cite for you that sets up this next guest perfectly. George Orwell, writing in 1984, the book 1984, every record has been destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, and the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. And George Orwell, 1984. Which is perfect for my next guest, Sherrese Trump, no relation to that Trump. She's the executive director of Speech First, freedom of speech on our university colleges and campuses. Sherrese, glad to have you back on board with us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, Larry.
Well, I tell you what, I'm looking at some of the research you've been doing and what you found about the so-called bias response teams. Bias response, as soon as I hear that, I think of that 1984 quote, and I also think of what it really means. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, well, so bias response teams, when you first hear the phrase, it's difficult to really understand what exactly that is. And that's why we call it censor squads, because that's essentially what they are. So it's an administrative body at the university campuses that actually monitors, restricts, and investigates various forms of speech. And what they do in order to track, like, what kind of speech they want to regulate, is they get students to anonymously report on one another. So it's straight out of 1984. It's straight out of East Germany with the Stasi. You know, this is something where universities are actually soliciting anonymous reports on students
snitching
from one another.
And yeah.
So, yeah, snitching, exactly.
But not for a crime, just no. Because it's against the woke culture, right?
Right. Well, that is a crime to them,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
because
you're right.
Yeah, like, for example, on Georgetown University's campus, they list bias incidents under the crimes you can report on their campus police website. So it is literal thought police.
I'm sorry. You said something. I know I heard it, but I think the audience did, but did you just tell me that Georgetown University is listing those kinds of things on a crime police blotter?
Yes. On their campus police website, it lists various crimes you can report, and bias incident is listed underneath that. And what's interesting, this is how the universities will define bias incident, oftentimes is unwanted or offensive speech, hate or bias speech, something as simple as a joke or stereotyping or even microaggressions. These are all constitutionally protected forms of speech, by the way, right? So
yeah.
even hate speech is protected under the First Amendment, and the Supreme Court has ruled on that time and time again because of the fact that no one can really define hate, right? Like, who defines hate? It's all subjective. And so, you know, when you think of, like, someone telling a joke that someone gets offended of, or some schools that even list offending someone's political affiliation as a bias incident, that is something that, you know, students are going to be looking over their shoulders. They're not really sure what they can say anymore. And when they say microaggressions, oftentimes, you know, a university will define microaggression as something as simple as asking someone where they're from. So students do not really know what it is exactly they can say. And at the same time, they're being encouraged to pay close attention to one another so that they can report on each other.
Yeah,
and guess what? They're using these systems, like reporting on each other.
And once one does, and well, let me one up you on that one. And let's go another. I had a report yesterday that I shared with the audience that various federal judges have said they're not going to accept law students from Yale University Law School anymore, which has always been basically a path to get into a Supreme Court clerk position, because they said, first of all, we don't know they're even learning anything, and too many of them are coming in woke.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, there was an article that Victor Davis Hanson wrote, I think a year or two ago, about how he also is not going to be interviewing students anymore or accepting students from Ivy League schools because they come with so much baggage when it comes to social justice warrior mentality and the woke ideology and dogmatic tendencies that he just doesn't think it's worth it and that there's better options out there at state universities. But I'll tell you right now, even though the Ivies are kind of notoriously the worst at some of this stuff, it's still widespread. Our bias reporting system report that we just released this last summer actually shows that there's a 200% increase on bias reporting systems across the country. We looked at over 800 universities, and 56% of them have these systems on their campuses.
And again,
so that is public and private.
And again, they like the title bias reporting system when, in fact, it is censorship, it is snitching, and it's because you said the wrong word at the wrong time, even inadvertently, be it you a professor and or a student, correct? Or someone invited on the campus.
Exactly. And, you know, students are supposed to be working together. There's supposed to be a sense of camaraderie amongst themselves. But instead, they're being told the second they step on campus that they should be aware of the fact that they could be easily offended by pretty much everyone around them, and they should try to report that whenever they can. Instead of that, now they're all enemies.
You mentioned that the University of Central Florida, which you challenged some of their policies, and you ended up getting $35,000 from the university to pay for your legal fees. You've won five lawsuits already in this kind of thing, and among them includes a bias response team that the Just Knights response team. That's just another way of describing. Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of campuses will call it something else. They'll try to create euphemisms to hide them. And so at University of Central Florida's campus, they called it the Just Knights response team because the Knights is their mascot. And, you know, in our settlement, we actually had them completely disband it and promise to never bring it back, because this is something students were reporting on each other for things as simple as posting, you know, various emojis or jokes online, or offending certain groups by saying, for example, they don't believe that transgenders should be, or that men should be in women's sports. And so this is, you know, these are the types of things that are getting reported. It's anyone who dissents from that woke dogmatic thinking is going to get reported. And they're all looking over their shoulders. And it's what we call chilling speech, right?
Yes.
The policy is enforcing a sense of chilling, a self-censorship, because students know that if they say something, they could easily get in trouble or investigated.
You're listening to Sharice Trump, the executive director of Speech First, fighting for free and fair and First Amendment right speech on colleges, university campuses. Before you joined us in the previous segment, I was pointing out that a new survey analyzed by Gallup showed that 44% of young women counted themselves as liberal, 44% of young women as of 2021, but back in the late 90s and 2000s, fewer than 30% of women identified as liberal. And overall, women are more liberal than young men by about 25% difference. Why do you think that's happening?
Well, I think women are, you know, naturally more compassionate, and they think that
I beg your pardon. I am compassionate. I'm compassionate. Go ahead.
But I think that natural tendency towards compassion and sympathy makes them want to go towards whatever, you know, ideological leaning they think fills that role. And so whether it's conscious or subconscious, they think the left has done a fantastic job advertising itself as the more compassionate, the more caring ideology. And it's actually not. When we see the tyrannical policies that they try to put in place, when we see how they shut people down and how they throw rocks through windows and riot consistently, that is obviously not a compassionate or ideological position. But they do really market themselves this way. And I think a lot of folks are fooled by it.
Now, you chose the word compassion. You did not touch upon the word of smarter.
Exactly.
I'm asking.
Look, men and women, depending on, like, you know, how intellectually curious they are, it's their intellectual capacities are all going to be all over the map. But there's no consistency with either sex. But I think it's really important to recognize that, you know, if we are seeing an increase on either side, the question we should be asking ourselves is why? Why is that happening? And, you know, the conservatives are, you know, obviously the ones who believe the most in equality. Like, right, we're not doing this, like, fake equity stuff, this fake diversity. We actually do believe in equality. We do, you know, the principles in the Constitution are pretty fundamental to the way of life in this country. And, you know, if there's a better way to kind of, like, market that and pitch it, it's just that folks these days are so disinterested in history and kind of the principles and meaning behind that history that they end up kind of going down these new paths that the progressives are throwing in their face. And I'll say part of it also has to do a lot with fear, right? There's a lot of fear mongering going on with tyrannical regimes. People are usually very afraid of retaliation, and that's what we're fighting on campuses a lot of the time.
I believe that.
Students are afraid of this retaliation, exactly, and that's only going to seep into society.
Well,
if you wonder where cancel culture and all of that started, it started on campuses.
Oh, absolutely.
And so it's seeping into society. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're there fighting the good fight for us on the college campuses. And thanks again, Sharice Trump, Executive Director of Speech First. Always a pleasure to have you on board, and appreciate your information.
Yeah, happy to be here. You can find out more on speechfirst.org.
Thank you, speechfirst.org. Coming up, what are you willing to do to prove that you're innocent? Would you have your butt skinned? You heard me right. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
As you well know, the left is always pushing for getting every one of your constitutional rights pulled away from you. Protect their own, but not yours. And certainly your Second Amendment rights are involved. First Amendment, everything, when you get down to it. And from time to time, you see efforts by various police departments and cities. Oh, we know how we'll get guns off the street. We will do a buyback program. It has been stupid from the beginning. I don't know how many of these I've covered over the years when I was still doing news anchor work, and the fact that most of the guns being brought in, they're unusable anyway. Are there somebody's granddads that they decide, well, they're going to give us $50 for it, let's go get it. Or they go steal some guns and bring them in to turn them in. But I have to tell you that then you've got a guy that you might call a genius. This piece I've seen in different places. I only give part of the credit here for the Crowder report because I saw it there as well. And I always like to give credit because there's a thin line between credit and blame. If it's wrong, it's not. But louder with Crowder's side. I want to let you know about that. But I've seen it elsewhere. But talking about the guy that they identified as Lim, and he ended up using, he's apparently in Houston. I take it back. This is another one. That a guy in Houston had done the same thing, only made $3,000. Here's what they were doing. They were taking 3D printers and basically using it to create guns, or at least enough of a gun that it looked like it would be real and realistic. It could be. He had a $200 printer he got for a Christmas present, and he created 110 guns because the New York Attorney General's office was offering a gun buyback program. So he shows up with, as he said, I'm bringing in something that I know is not really going to be a gun, and I created it just so I could make the money, but I'm getting paid. He had to basically haggle with the Attorney General's office, but they eventually did give him $21,000. $41, $500 gift cards for turning in guns. He created them just so he could take them in and get the money. So much for their gun buyback. And the Attorney General, Letitia James, said, it's shameful this individual exploited a program. One individual's greedy behavior won't tarnish our work to promote public safety. We've adjusted our policies to ensure no one can exploit this program again for personal gain. That is a stupid statement because no one is going to turn in generally good working guns unless they're done with that one and they've moved on to something else. But they still think they're taking guns off the street. And you have gangbanger shootings on a regular basis. What are they doing? All right, I mentioned this, and the St. Louis audience might be familiar with this story more than many of you listening from wherever you are. They have in St. Louis the Siegfried Cup. It's a chess championship. It is the U.S. championship held in St. Louis. Well, a 19-year-old beat a grandmaster of Norway. The 19-year-old is an American chess player. And there were rumors at the time, this is back in September, that he cheated somehow or another. But how did he cheat? Well, the word began to get around that he had some kind of, and you're going to, I'm using I'm using biological terms, so if you're offended, it's a biological term. Some were speculating he was using an anal device that would vibrate and give him information on what move he should make. In other words, someone else better than him was watching the match and then sending information to him. Now, listen, in poker, in some of the major championships, well, at least in one recently, they were able to find out that a guy was getting some kind of transmissions that was telling him what the other players had because somebody was in a position where they could see them and they were passing information to him. And just the other day, we had a fishing contest shown to be that two men had been making thousands in fishing contests by catching the heaviest fish. By putting all their fish together, they weighed more. It turned out they were putting metal sinkers, basically iron balls or something of that nature, inside the guts of each fish, so when they weighed, it will weigh more than a fish. It might be bigger, but it didn't weigh as much because it didn't have that inside. So in this case, when the accusation went around that this guy who was one of the lowest-rated players was possibly cheating because this anal device would buzz in some sequence to tell him what moves to make, and although no one could basically prove exactly how it would work, they decided that maybe what we should do is verify this. So someone decided, let's scan his butt. I kid you not, scan his butt. And the frequency scanner intended to pick up a signal that might be radiating. It found nothing, but they did it. They wanted to see if by somehow or another he had something in his anal cavity that would beep or vibrate and tell him which move to make. If there is a way to cheat and get around, believe me, there are people that will find a way to make it happen. But in this case, apparently it was, as they declared, clean. You thought you were just getting politics and that kind of stuff on this program? Oh, no. No, we cover it all, like it or not. As always, I appreciate you listening. Let others know. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.